Hi and welcome. This is Latrice Bartley, founder of Purposefully Living, where your passion meets God's purpose. I believe God created you for a purpose. So why not purposefully live every day of your life by embracing your uniqueness and walking in the fullness of who Christ created you to be? Good morning, good morning. It's Latrice with Mindset Monday. I'm excited, y'all. I'm getting ready to jump in and give you this word. Y'all see I'm moving, I'm smiling. It's just another day to be thankful, right? It's just another day to be thankful. So I always like to just jump in and say welcome, whether you are watching a replay, you listening on the podcast. I thank you for taking a moment to give me 20 to 30 to 40, whatever. Don't y'all judge me on the time that this podcast is going to be. Just thank you for the time that you've given. But I believe I have a word of encouragement for you. So listen, I am just simply here to encourage you. I love to say that I am a woman of God, a servant of the Most High God, and I don't need a title, but if you just want to know who I am, that's what you need to know. I love God's word. I love encouraging others. I'm a wife, a mom, homeschool, teacher, all the things, y'all. But you know what? I make it because I have a mindset to walk out what God wants me to do and to deep dive in his word. And so I am here to encourage you. And this word, I believe, is so good. I say every week, but it's so true, right? I feel like everything is so good. Like it's like right where I am. But the reality is if it's not encouraging me, that's a problem, right? So I'm encouraging you as I encourage myself. It should bless me first, right? So that's where I'm at. So today I want to encourage you. It's working for good. Rest and believe. Let me say it again. It's working for good. Rest and believe. And this title came from two things because I think I told y'all a while back at the first of the year when I began to seek God, he told me this was my year of rest. But that did not mean like necessarily laying on the bed, just rest. It meant some of that. But he was reminding me that I would be resting, that I had to expect, surrender, trust, rejoice. Like he gave me words for those. And so today, as we are literally October, y'all, can you believe it? October, year is almost out. I don't know where you may sit. Or if you look back over your year and you go, yeah, you know, we all be shouting on the year end, it's gone, da, da, da. And then by February, you like, what happened to all those for the prophecies and the declarations, right? Listen, it's working for good. You got to rest and believe. I'm just here to remind you of that. So we are going to come out of Romans 8. But before I jump to that good 28, right? Because we all know Romans 8, 28. But the Lord had me to start in further up in the chapter, because I believe Romans 8 and 28 a lot of times can be misunderstood. And you know, we love to go through stuff and be like, honey, it's working for my good. It's working for my good. But I want to put that a little bit in context. And depending on the version of Romans 8 that you read, I love, you know, the Bible gives you little titles. And this particular title reminds us a life in the spirit, a life in the spirit. Romans 8 reminds us that our life, we should be walking and living and allowing the Spirit of God to lead us. And when that is happening, we have a promise. So Mindset Monday, I always like to just start off because I don't want to assume somebody, maybe you're watching me, maybe you're like, oh, okay, who is she? She's going to give us, encourage us. Mm-mm. I'm here all warrior mode. Like I understand the word of God is active, powerful, sharp. It does so many things. It prunes us. It meaning it's cutting off things and it's working. Literally, the word is working, right? Last week I talked about God's word is a game changer. Think about that. It is a game. It shifts, significant shifts to whatever the word of God is applied to. So today, when I say Mindset Monday, I chose Monday, or the Lord gave me this title because it used to be Motivational Monday. But the Lord began to deal with me and said, where I am taking you and where I'm taking my people, it will take a certain mindset. Like motivation ain't gonna work. You know, you can be motivated, but that motivation can go quick as, you know, you walk out the door. But there's a certain mindset that you must have. I'm trying to slow down because I don't want to get too ahead of myself. But when I think about mindset, right, it's like a fixed state of mind. And so I think about one of my favorite scriptures in this season is those that know their God will be strong and do great exploits. And we love, yes, it's not about the exploits though. It's what you know. You can't get the strength you need and do the things you do if you don't know. So you have to know your God. I love they used to say in my church, you got to know him even when you can't trace him. You know, you might not see him, but you have to know. So Mindset Monday reminds us that daily we must renew our mind in God's word. And I want you to see mindset today as mind hyphen set. Mindset. I know it's one word. But see, mindset, like, no, you really setting your mind. And this is so important because here's the thing. You might say, well, if I don't get in God's word every day, is that bad? No. If you don't read his word every day, are you going to hell? No. But what I do need you to understand, the reason Mindset Monday is important with me encouraging you to anchor, focus, set your mind on the word, you better know that Satan don't take no days off. Now listen, you take vacation time as needed from the word, but what I want you to understand is every day he is roaming, he is lurking, he is seeking. He is not off his job. He will slow walk you down. So how you choose to eat God's word is on you. I can't say you're going to hell. I can't say that you, no, but understand he don't take days off. So the moment that you are decide to get lax, and so what I want to encourage you is there's a fervency, there's a vigor, there is a zeal that we must go after God, his word, y'all. This is not the time to get sloth and stagnated, okay? So as I said, Romans 8 is where we're going today. So before I jump into our core scripture, Romans 8 and 28, I want to kind of start above. And I'm going to just pick some, but I would encourage you to read all of Romans 8. But I want to start when we're talking about a mindset and setting our mind. I love Amplified Version. And this is what Romans 8 and 6 says. It says, now the mind of the flesh is death, both now and forever, because it pursues sin. But the mind of the spirit is life and peace, the spiritual well-being that comes from walking with God, both now and forever. That's Romans 8 and 6. In the Christian Standard Bible, this is what it says. It says, now the mindset, that hyphen, mindset of the flesh is death, but the mindset of the spirit is life and peace. And this is so important that in that version is hyphenated, y'all, because you have to set your mind on the word of God. You have to set. And I want you to think about this as we're talking about the course of our week, our marriage, our spiritual walk. There is an actual setting your mind on the things of God. Like in this, in Romans 8, it is telling us the importance of a life in the spirit, walking by the spirit of God. So what we set our minds on matters. It really matters. It determines the course of our week. And so here's another scripture, Philippians 4:4-7, Amplified. Here the Amplified. It says, rejoice in the Lord always. Delight, take pleasure in him. Come on. When we talking about that, okay, yeah, I know we're trying to get to 8:28, but I'm setting this up. It reminds us that, hold on. It says, rejoice in him always. Always. It didn't say when you got to check, when it's good, when your marriage is great, kids are saved, everybody going off to college, everything. He said always. There's always a reason to rejoice in the Lord. Then it said, again, I will say rejoice. Let your gentle spirit, your graciousness, your unselfishness, mercy, tolerance, and patience be known to all people. You better know that's developed in the spirit, because we already know right now. I mean, listen, we just built the house just to go and get some furniture, and they tell you a year that you need a car. They tell you order it now. You like, Lord, please manifest these fruits of the spirit. But I'm driving this because a life in the spirit is crucial. It is crucial. And this passage is reminding us that there's some things, gentleness, those are fruits of the Spirit, unselfishness. It's saying mercy, tolerance, and patience, another fruit of the Spirit, be known to all people. That is known by the Spirit of God living in you. It says the Lord is near. That's the next part. The Lord is near. Listen, why am I here? Yes, you got a job. Yes, you might want to try all of the things, right? But in going through day-to-day life, I don't want you to forget the Lord is near. The Lord is near. We must be like the tribe of Israel. We must know the signs of the times. The Lord is near. If you don't know through all the things we're going through that, y'all, there's more to what the natural eye see, okay? So it says, the Lord is near. Do not be anxious or worried about anything, but in everything, every circumstance and situation, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, continue to make your specific requests known to God. Then we have a promise, the peace of God, the perfect peace that surpasses our understanding, is going to guard our heart and mind. But here's where I'm going, y'all. It then goes on and says, but finally, believers, because I want to be honest, this is not something that if you are not a believer, if you don't know the Lord, when your house is flat on the ground and everything that you know is gone, you don't, even as a believer, that's overwhelming, right? But it's reminding us as believers, whatever is true, honorable, worthy of respect, right, confirmed by God. That's why I love this version. Confirmed by God's word. That's what pure and wholesome, look, lovely and brings peace, whatever is admirable and good repute. If there is any excellence, if there is any worthy of, is there anything worthy of praise? Think continually on these things. Center your mind on them and plant them in your heart. I'm still talking. I'm building the Romans 8:28. Stay with me. It says, remember, I said we are developing a mindset. In other words, let's reverse that. Set your mind. That's what Mindset Monday is. But it reminds us in this scripture. It says, listen, I need you to take those things that the word says. Remember, I told you last week, God's word is a game changer. It said, take those things and then think continually on that. Y'all, I use this example all the time. What do I mean like that? Practically, I talk a lot about my daughter and our situation. I had two. I thought I was going to be a boy mom. Had Langston and Miles. No, you know, major problems with my pregnancies at all. Fibroids, light things. But then I had in 2017 the diagnosis with Olivia, placenta accreta. Short version, I'm a hemorrhage out and die. We go in there, they say abort immediately. Like there's no way. I remember the doctor declaring she will not make it to 19 weeks. You have to abort now. They're showing me on the x-ray what, like they weren't making it up. It was on there. They're like, as you grow, where she's implanted. But y'all, I'm giving this example because to win that was a whole battle. A whole warfare that I don't even have time to explain. But here is the end. I had victory, but I had to set my mind. My mindset couldn't be on, I'ma die, I'ma die, I'ma die. I had to fight. What did God say? He said that I would live and not die and proclaim the works of the Lord. He said, it didn't mean that I didn't go into doctor. I want to talk practically. I'm not talking, because some people might be like, yeah, she say that. I understand. Fix your mind. But she ain't went through nothing. Oh, I done been through some stuff. Still in some stuff. But I'm telling you what I know. Those that know their God, they will be strong. They will do great exploits because he is a man of his word. It mattered though what I set my mind on. I couldn't look at the doctors, and I would be a lie to tell you that starting out, my mindset was all perfect and I went out and I said, amen, and God is with them. No, I cried. I let my emotions get the best of me, but I had to get in and say, hold on. That's why mindset is so important. And just in case you there, maybe you driving the crazy car of emotions. I'm telling you, pull over, hold on. Let's set our mind today. We got to set our mind according to the word of God. I don't care what your marriage say. I don't care what your children look like. I don't care what your bank account. I don't care what your business is. What did God say? A life in the spirit works. But if you are trying to do things in your emotion, Romans 8 reminds us that we got a promise coming in 28, but we have to make sure that we're paying attention above where it talks about the spirit of God, allowing him to direct, allowing him to guide, allowing him to lead. And the only way you can do that is to set your mind on the word of God, to allow Holy Spirit to illuminate that word so that you can walk it out. And therein, you will have peace. That will be your dwelling place, y'all. And so this was so important because Philippians 4, it reminds us. It said, I know what you're dealing with. But he said, this is what I said to think on. I know what your husband and your relationship look like, but this is what I said to think on. I know what the doctor said, but this is what I said to think on. So how do you do that? You take what they said and you put it in the word of God. That's what I had to do with Olivia. But let me go and give you the end real quick. I remember the day that she was born, the day after, my doctor brought in a big old screen. And she said, this was what she said to me in a high level way. She said, I've done surgeries, many, many surgeries. She said, we do this all the time. She said, but I went home at my coffee table and I sat down and I couldn't understand how you were living. I didn't understand. She said, when we opened you up, let me tell you this part. They were supposed to do like a bikini cut. She said, I remember I was getting ready to go in like 2 minutes before I was getting ready to go to surgery, major surgery, OR. They had brought it out of, it wasn't even on the maternity ward. They had to put in the OR with so many fellows and different people that wanted to see it, what was going to happen. And right before I was getting ready to go in, she said, I'm going to do a bikini cut. I said, oh, whatever you want to do. Y'all, but the Spirit of God. See, my husband had prayed. He said, we need you, Holy Spirit, to go before us. And my doctor shared with me as she was getting ready to put on the screen. She said, I got ready to cut down there, but something moved me up. When she cut open, there was a mass, y'all, that was sitting on my C-scar. She said, to put it in context, if you had even been in a fender bender, you would have been dead. The blood spatter from the inside. She said, I don't even know how you made it with that type of, on that thin tissue of paper. But you know what happened? See, when I got the x-rays and I really understood what I was going through, I began to say, Holy Spirit, I said, God, and this is literally what I said. I said, put your hands on the inside of me. I said, and hold me together. Y'all, I remember that day I was on the corner of my bed, boo-hoo crying. But I said, hold me together. I said, Spirit of God, hold me together. You can keep this baby together. You can keep my insides together. Don't let me bleed out. That lady started crying. She said, I ain't never seen nothing like this. That's what it means when I said, set your mind. What did the word of God say? You take that situation, it's got to line up to the word of God. And I'm not ignorant to know that every situation doesn't turn out. But you better know whichever way the Lord turns it is working for your good. So now, as I move on, I wanted to remind you, when you set something, I said mindset, I'm still building till it's working for our good. But I want you to understand that Romans 8 is reminding us and charging us about a life in the spirit. A life in the spirit. We must walk by the Spirit of God. We must allow Holy Spirit to direct us. And when you set your mind on the word of God, what does that mean? Mindset. Think about it. When you set something, you either lay, you put it, or you stand it in a position. You may lay it in a position. You set it in a position, or you put it in a position. And a good example I love about this is, think about when you go in a car and a radio station, you set the radio station. You can't set simultaneously two radio stations. First of all, I would think that would drive you crazy to hear country and you try, like you got to listen to one or the other. God saying that's the same thing. Set your mind. Are you going to follow the dictates of your flesh or you going to follow my word? Are you going to follow what culture said? You going to follow what I said? Set your mind. When I'm talking mindset, you got to determine the course of your life by God's word. What he said, I don't care what your marriage said. Set your mind on the word of God. And so when we think about that, you do what? You tune in. You got to choose one station. You're going to either listen to CD. You're going to listen to the music. You can't listen to it all. right? Or you won't be able to hear. It almost becomes a distraction. So I am encouraging you today that we have to set. Otherwise, it becomes chaotic. Listening to too many things is chaotic. But Romans reminds us that we must set our minds on the things of God, because where our mind goes, our feet goes. We want to put our mind on the word of God. We want to live our lives. We don't want to have a mind of the flesh that it just follows the dictates of whatever I feel, I'm going to go do it. You better know the end of that is death. But we want the mind of the spirit that we're, that not only like the scripture said, it says that we're walking with God. That we are following what he says. Yeah, this flesh may want to do this, but God, I'm going to, this flesh got to be, I'm not that woman. You are creating in me a new creature. I am a new creature, but I understand it's by the spirit of God that I am daily being transformed inside out, right? All right. So as we go on, here's what verse 14 says, which is so important. Verse 14 says, so then, brothers and sisters, we have an obligation, but not to our flesh, our human nature, our worldliness, our sinful capacity, not to live according to the impulses of the flesh, our nature without the Holy Spirit. Let's stop there. You know, because you save and you ain't going to tell me everybody cuss now and then, everybody get drunk every now and then. No. It might be that you need to understand the scripture. It said, listen, he said, brothers and sisters, okay? He believers. He said, we have an obligation, but not to our flesh. He said, our human nature, our sinful capacity, because that's what is going to always want to get glorified. He said, but no, when you are doing that, that's the nature without the Holy Spirit. You can, listen, you can override the Holy Spirit. He said, for if you are living according to the impulses of the flesh, you're going to die. He said, but if you are living by the power of the Holy Spirit, which means you are habitually putting to death the sinful deeds of the body, you will live forever. I'm still building the Romans 8. I know y'all like, but when is she going to get to Romans 8? Oh, but this is important. This is important. And then when we go to verse 14, here's what it says. It sums it up so well. For all who are allowing themselves to be led by the Spirit of God are the sons of God. Why am I building? I'm going to bring it all together in a minute, because I need you to understand, like I started out, a life in the Spirit works. Romans 8 and 28 gives us a promise, but above that, it's reminding us, hold on, let's make sure that we're not living and the fruits that we are realizing and that we're dealing with is because we are living by flesh. You know, because when you've made decisions and you are being contrary to word and you are habitually making your mind up to sin and you know what you're doing is wrong, that ain't the time to be talking about, but he working it all for my good. You're making a choice. Now, God is sovereign. He can take anything and make something out of it. But the Bible is reminding us that I'm telling you what that lifestyle produces. But it says that when you allow yourself to be led by the Spirit of God, you are known by the sons of, as a child of God, as a woman of God, as a son of God, and you have a promise. So as we go on, though, it says in Romans 8 and 15, 8:13, 15. Sorry, I guess I should put my glasses on, but I don't. They got a little scratch. It says, for you did not receive a spirit of slavery to fall back into fear. Instead, you receive the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. Why is that so important? Just before, I'm reminding you that those who allow themselves to be led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. He's reminding us above that, listen, you can't, if you living off these impulses of flesh, that's going to produce death. But then he gives us a promise. We getting more promises. He said, don't, you got to set your mind on what Philippians told us, on those things that are true. Those things are confirmed by God. And he said, don't receive a spirit of slavery. Why is that so important? Because we have a heavenly Father, not a master. If you look at, well, I got to do this and they say I got to do that and I got to do, if that's how you look at, boundaries are good. But we have a heavenly Father, y'all, not a master, to be guided by the Spirit of God. What love that he said, what I'm requiring you to do, I don't even need, you're not going to even do it on your own. I'm going to give you a helper who will lead you, who will remind you, who will enable you so that you can fulfill and be who I called you to be. So this scripture is so important because it says, listen, if you fearfully live, that's slavery. Oh God, no, we don't serve a master. We have a heavenly Father who calls us sons and daughters, y'all. We have benefits. We have a benefits, which includes that he will take our pains, our past, our obstacles, and work them for our good. When you think about the word adopted, it says in the scripture, instead you receive the spirit of adoption, so that by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. When you think about adoption, y'all, you get to receive the rights and the benefits and the privileges of the adult heir. When they adopted, who adopted them, what they have. The main benefit, but this scripture is reminding us, though, is relationship, intimacy. When you think about Abba, Father, we don't have a master. No, it says we can call him daddy. You didn't have a daddy? You have one, Abba, Father. Our daddy is listening. He cares. And we get to approach his throne boldly. Understand, I'm still talking about he's working it for your good, because you got to know who is working it for your good. You have to know him. If you don't understand who he is and what he requires, if I just go ahead and jump ahead of my notes, Romans 8 and 28 is conditional. It's conditional. Because when you understand him as Abba Daddy and you understand the relationship with him, I have a great daddy. I don't want to hurt my daddy. I don't want to talk up to him any kind of way. I don't want to do things that would bring tears to his eyes. And I've done that. And I can tell you to this day, there's still times that I get teary-eyed. Because when you really have a relationship and love your Father, how much more your Heavenly Father? So when we're talking about he's working it all, who is he? This Father, he's not a master. But he's a heavenly Father that has adopted you by the Spirit of God. It says that we don't even have to fear. Instead, you receive the spirit of adoption by whom we cry, Abba, Father. So I know we ready for, okay, I know that Romans 8 and 28, because I started off saying what? I said, y'all, it's working for our good so we can rest and believe. Well, that's so important because this scripture, y'all, I believe the verses before it is so key because it reminds us all things are working. Yes, all things are working. Even the things we can't understand, but we have to have supernatural revelation. When your marriage is upside down, he's working. When your son is in prison, it's working. When the parent is dying, it's working. Your money is funny, it's working. The trials, the obstacles, all things are working. But here's the thing. You can't really understand that till you read verse 18. And I love this. This to me is so good, more than 8 and 28. In verse 18, this is what Paul said. He said, for I consider, I can hear him saying that. He said, for I consider from the standpoint of faith. Think about that. He said, I'm going to consider some things from this standpoint, from this perspective. This is how I'm going to see it. He said, from the standpoint of faith, that the sufferings of the present life are not worthy to be compared with the glory that is about to be revealed to us and in us. I know we excited about getting to Romans 8, but Paul said, I consider from a faith standpoint, because when the marriage is upside down, when the kids are acting crazy, when you going through the trials and the stresses of life and just things are happening, you have to know by faith that God is doing more than one thing. Because looking at it naturally, you like, what is happening? But Paul said, I consider from the standpoint of faith. Hold on, the sufferings of this present life, it ain't got nothing. It's not even to be compared to what I'm going. And y'all, this is required. As we're going through things, yes, we are heirs with God, but it also reminds us that we become co-heirs. We got to suffer. We got to count it all. Joy. This is part of the package, the benefit package. He said to suffer with me as I did. That's a privilege. So listen, he reminds us, let's change our perspective. He said, as I consider some things from a standpoint of faith, the sufferings of this present life, woo, for what I'm getting ready to get, He said they are not worthy to even be compared to what's coming. Y'all, listen, he's working it for our good, our eternal good. There's more than what you see right now. So now let's go ahead and talk about, as I end, working. Working is being developed, performing as intended, and doing what it's supposed to do. Your marriage, y'all, is being developed, performing as intended, and doing what it's supposed to do. Them children that you're looking at going, they are being developed, performing as it intended, and doing what it is supposed to do. That money, the lack of, is being developed, performing as intended. It's working. Why am I saying that? Because most times he's doing it in us. We're looking for it to be in the thing, right? He said, no, I'm working it in you first. I'm doing some things in you. So I want to end how I began, y'all. It doesn't matter what the it is. I want to encourage you that all things are working together for good. But the reason I took the time to go all through some of Romans 8 above 28, because it reminds us about a life that is being guided by the Spirit of God. Why? Because the next line after that says, yes, all things are working together for good to those who love God. And the Bible reminds us, if you love him, you're going to obey him, right? Then it says, to those who are called according to his purpose. So you can't be shacking up, sleeping with everybody, and then the fruits thereof and things are happening. You like, I don't know where he is. And Bob said he was working it for my good. Now, he can take anything. Yeah, don't get me wrong. Please let me put that disclaimer. He's sovereign. God is gracious. Some of the things, even myself, that we deserve, we didn't get. He's merciful. But let's understand what the Bible is reminding us. And I love that in the Passion Translation, I just love how this reads. It says, so we are convinced that every detail of our lives is continually woven together for good, for we are his lovers. His lovers, that's personal. His lovers who have been called to fulfill his design purpose, not yours, not what you want to do. He said, it's going to work together. When you call, everything ain't been right. Marriage ain't been all together. I've been through hard times. I've seen things. But the Lord said, hold on, but she yet getting up. She want to yet be used. She yet crying, saying, God, whatever you want me to say, I better know he working this thing together for my good. Because I am called. I'm saying, Lord, however you want to use it, I trust you. So I have a promise. And I want to encourage you too. No matter where you sit, he is working it for your good. So y'all, I went through all that intro, because we love to just say, he's working for my good. And he is. But God wants us to be reminded that obedience, his word reminds us to love him with all of our heart, our entire being, our spirit, our soul, our mind. Y'all, it reminds us that when we are not allowing the Spirit of God to lead us, then, and we are living by our flesh, that is not going to end well. That is not going to end well. That ain't gonna work for the good. Listen, he's sovereign. He is a master chef. My husband loves cooking. He is a master chef, and he can take the fragments and the mess ups and the things of our life and mix it into a recipe. Yes, he can. He is a master architect. He can take all them pieces that's broken and mold them into something, a workmanship, a piece of art for the world to see. But God wants us to know that it all matters to him. It matters that we surrender our lives, surrender our body, surrender our mind to do what this word says, to live not by the dictates of our flesh, but to walk by the Spirit. And the only way you can do is to set your mind on this word. You got to begin to set it. What does he say about my dating? Okay, let me set that frequency. Let me read what it says and begin to set that. What does he say about my money? Okay, let me set my mind. I'm going to give. I'm not going to rob God. That's got to be the frequency that I set. What does he say about how I should speak to my spouse or speak to my church? Let me set. Mindset is an action that you have to do. You have to allow the Spirit of God to lead you. So I just want to encourage you as I leave for real. The truth, God's word is a game changer. As I said this week, the truth is he can't lie. That's the truth. He cannot lie. He promised that he will always be there and he will never leave you. He will never forsake you. He will, y'all. So as I end, I just want you to be reminded, count it all joy because God is faithful. He is reliable. Listen, go ahead and get your posture of praise, your posture of peace. Lift up your hands and magnify them because all things are working together for your good. And I always like to say that I like to sometimes end with a quote, and I gave this quote a while back and I want to give it again because it was so good. I know sometimes when we hear that Romans 8:28, especially those of us that, you know, we are, listen, we're walking upright and we're like, Lord, I feel like it's like one hit after the other, but remember, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but we have a promise, just like we have a promise in Romans 8:28. He will deliver us all. The words and promises of the Lord are pure. His word is perfect. What he says, he means, but we have to trust his sovereignty. We have to trust his process. And that's why this quote is so wonderful. Here's what it says. Sometimes God rescues us from things. Sometimes he rescues us out of things. And sometimes he changes us in things. Let him choose. He knows best. And that's how I want to end. And listen, I'm going to tell you, where I have been in the season, he's been changing me in the midst of it. You know, I'd be like, Lord, you know, you could just, with your good sovereign, you all knowing, you know, we start calling all his name. You Elohim, you can create. I am that I am. Abba, Daddy, you call him everything. Provider, you know, you could just do it. And he said, nah. I'm doing something greater. I'm going to let you sin in it. I know you feel like you're in the fire, but I know right when to take you out, but I'm going to do something in you in the midst of it. And I can tell you this, what he does, it will blow your mind. I think about the scripture that says, marvelous are his works. Oh, my soul knows them well. And I can tell you marvelous. Cried many tears, but yet marvelous are his works. My ways, I wouldn't do it that way, Lord. I could tell him a little couple things, but who am I to tell my maker how to do things? We're not that smart. We have to trust, even when we can't trace him, even when we feel like we can't see him, he is doing more than what we see. So I pray something I said encouraged you. I'm getting ready to go run and study. That's why I'm dressed like this, y'all. I said, I'm just coming on here like, because I'm in mode. I'm writing a lot. So as you think on me, pray for me. If I come across your mind, say, Lord, breathe on a pen because I'm in a season of writing and I'm excited for what God is getting ready to do in my life, what he's already done. And so, listen, it's going to be a great week. Let's set our mind on the word of God. Bye.